Well, you can probably guess that it is the 4th of July, 2020. And there's no community fireworks, but there are plenty of community fireworks in probably every neighborhood across the country. So I'm going to do my little fireworks eclipse podcast. Now, for the 4th of July, we are also having a penumbral eclipse, which is underway as we speak. So the moon should be tinging pink or red at some point, although there's no guarantees that that'll happen. Now, I'm sure you're going to hear all about the 4th of July. You're going to hear all about the history of 4th of July. You're going to be inundated with that stuff all weekend. I'm not going to bore you with that. Plenty of places to find all kinds of patriotic information available about the history of the United States and the Declaration of Independence. And so we're going to talk about, because this is such a perfect, I mean, there isn't a leaf astir. Meanwhile, there's kids out in the park shooting fireworks off, and dads, and it's very exciting, and there have been fireworks all night long, so I think it's perfect to tell some stories about 4th of July's in my past, and that'll maybe provoke some of your memories too, and we'll do that in podcast 938, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, I'm proud to announce a new sponsor on this 4th of July for the Bob Davis Podcast, Kim Nybo Insurance. And she has offices, of course, in Columbia Heights and Minneapolis. Now, there's a lot of advertising for insurance all over the place. And the truth is, there's not that many personal stories about service. And the thing with Kim Nybo is it's all about service. It's all about servicing the clients and helping them with all kinds of different packages and services, which I'm going to tell you about over the next few weeks. But I'm going to tell you a personal story. I was with a one insurance company for like 30 years. Most of my young adult life, I had one insurance company. And I will tell you that, save for the first few months, I never got a call from that insurance agent asking me how things are going or anything else. And over the years, the fees for the insurance products kept going up. So I had car insurance, and the premiums kept increasing and kept coming. So one day I had heard about Kim Nybo. I'd seen her billboards out on the highway, and I'd seen her little advertisements at Cub Foods. And I thought, I'm going to call Kim Nybo and see what she can do. Well, here's the thing. Here's what Kim Nybo did for me. She saved me literally hundreds of dollars on insurance for the two vehicles that I had, one Crown Vic and two Mobile Podcast Command. Hundreds of dollars a year. That's the first thing. The second thing is, when Mobile Podcast Command was at the side of the road on Route 20 in Iowa, Webster, Iowa, at dark in the middle of summer, they really stepped up. Tammy from State Farm really took care of me, you know, was corresponding with me. It was like a Sunday night, corresponding with me via email and making sure that I was taken care of by roadside service. And they did above and beyond what was required. So when I bought the 96 Buick mint condition Roadmaster wagon, they got that insured for very little right away. So I'm proud to refer you to Kim Nybo Insurance and to endorse the entire team, Tammy and all the other people at Nybo, because they work as hard as I do and they are always on it. So yeah, they're in Columbia Heights and Minneapolis. So cars, especially boats in the summer, is your boat insured? How is it insured? That's important. Motorcycles, auto, home, property, business, and life. Kim Nybo Insurance. Here's the number, 763-571-6111, 763-571-6111, or click on the Kim Nybo banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. That takes you to kimnybo.com. And we're not going to have too much patriotism in this podcast, but I do want to say that in the news these days, you're hearing lots of talk about companies bringing their manufacturing back to the U.S. There's lots of reasons for it. Obviously, the trade stuff, but coronavirus is also screwing up supply lines. If you're looking for a great American manufacturer, please consider DepoStar, American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing, right here in Ramsey, Minnesota. Visit their website at DepoStar.com. That's DepoStar. DepoStar.com. So I will say a few things about the 4th of July and about the history of the United States, and then we're not going to say any more. Because, as usual, if I spend any time scanning, sitting here on the deck all day long, we're just inundated, especially on social media, with all kinds of posts about what the 4th is supposed to mean and what it isn't supposed to mean and how it doesn't mean anything anymore and it shouldn't because it's wrong. And I mean, it's just unbelievable. I actually put a whole podcast together last night and I dumped it. I deleted it and emptied the garbage today because it just isn't the right tone. It's not the right time to talk about or spend any more time talking about social media and the news and where people are at and how people are so crazy and what's going on in this country and everything else. It's just, I think there are times when nostalgia speaks much louder than any kind of specific language that you could use. So that's what we're going to use in this podcast. But I'll start by saying that, you know, if you ask people when was the U.S. Revolution, I guess they know it was 1776. You know, they know that the Declaration, perhaps they know that the Declaration of Independence was signed on July 4th, 1776. But anyway, that's about it. I don't think they know very much about what things were like here. This was still very much a frontier. And I was shocked to see that in 1760, which is the approximate time of that declaration, there were only about 1 million people in the United States, which is pretty amazing when you actually think about the country today with 320 million, 350 million people. The population of New York and Philadelphia and the biggest cities, they were the two biggest cities, was about 18,000 people. So today in Minnesota, if you're listening in Minnesota, the population of Red Wing City, Minnesota, is roughly 16,000 people. So this was a settlement. And I suppose if you go to places like Williamsburg, you can see what colonial America was like. Or if you go to Boston, you will find museums and you'll find buildings that you can go into that will give you some idea of what the colonial environment was like. As such, some of the things are interesting about it, but I think it's important to point out that this country, when we talk about the 4th of July and what it means, I'm just going to say this. I don't think anybody in the United States has any idea what the 4th of July means. This is an opportunity for people to cut loose and party at the peak of summer on a beautiful night. The moon rising, getting ready to go into its eclipse, and it'll start turning pink and red and orange, hopefully. And gives people an opportunity to shoot off some fireworks or spend some time on the lake or something to that effect. It's a big holiday for everybody. And of course, this year it's a huge holiday because people are already home anyway. Some people, most people, they're either out of work or they've been either at the lake or they've been working at home, sheltering in place, whatever it is that they've been doing for the past 4 months. So they're going to really cut loose this weekend. So people out on the lake, people having fun with their friends, my neighbors, I've never seen them come out for the 4th of July. And they're sitting out in their driveway with their other neighbors. So it's interesting. And I think it's important to put things in perspective in terms of the size of the country at the time. And I've often talked in my travels, I went through a place called... And, you know, I often talk about my travels, but this will give you a perspective of the way that this country was. So I came across a town in far western Maryland, right before you get into West Virginia or Ohio. I can't remember which. And I thought, wow, this is really a cool place. This is just really kind of a place I might even want to live someday. And it's called Cumberland, Maryland. And so I went into town and I got myself a cup of coffee and I looked around. It was in the evening, so it was dark. And I was just driving around town and checking it out. And I thought, oh, this is really cool. At one time, Cumberland, Maryland, so we're talking about the early 1800s, the young United States at that time. Cumberland, Maryland was the second largest city in the United States. Keep in mind, Philadelphia, New York, Boston were cities that had somewhere around 16 to 17,000 people in them. Boston, I think, had 10,000. And here's Cumberland, Maryland, which at that time was the second largest city in the United States because of where it was. It's right there in Western Maryland, right at the tip of the step off, you know, rivers and roadways and pathways that would lead to, you know, Ohio, the Ohio Territory, and so forth. So I recite these facts from history just to give people an idea of the kind of country that it was. People did not live very long. There was no real medical care at that time. If you had some kind of problem, they put leeches on you or they bled you. There was no electricity. That was the country. And it was very sparsely populated. It took a long time to get from Cumberland, Maryland, which happened far later. The city was built in the early 1800s. But at the time of the Revolution, I mean, it took a long time to get from Philadelphia to New York, where the capital was, and nobody thought of going down to quote-unquote Foggy Bottom, which is where the future capital would be. So the country's changed drastically. Super highways, travel by airplane, an extremely sensitive and effective method of electronic communications, a whole list of things that differentiate the current world that we're living in from that world. And if you look at a timeline of history, you say, oh, it all made sense and it's because of all this great stuff. And that's fine, but it's just important to point out that if you were to go back in time to that time, it would be a very different experience than what we're used to having now. And that is the extent of my little history lesson as far as the Declaration of Independence and the meaning of the 4th of July and all that other stuff. And I'm not going to do that because, as I said earlier, we are inundated with self-proclaimed authorities on the history of the United States, or we're inundated with editorials and articles that either say one thing or editorials and articles that say another thing. It's completely the opposite of. And if you don't know your history, then it's very hard to determine what, if anything, is right, or what one thing means or what another thing means. And I'm not going to do that work for you. You're going to have to figure it out for yourself. And if the past is any indication, I think people are going to be very, very challenged to try to make some sense of what is going on today versus what is going on in the country as it pertains to the history. And so it ends up being one demagogue or another is the one who's ascended, one personality or another is the one whose theory is preeminent. And that's the one everyone follows. And I've given up trying to do people's work for them. If they don't want to take the time to read history, if they just want to read popular history books, if they want to read popular articles, if they want to believe something's true because someone said it, well, and that is heavy. That is as heavy as I'm going to get in this particular podcast. So in the second half of this podcast, I'm going to share some stories about some great 4th of July's that I've had in my life. Well, I think it's probably, if you asked people, do you hate your printer? I think almost everyone would say, yes, I do. And if you ask them why, they're going to say, because paying for print cartridges is really expensive, especially if you go to the big box retailers. So here's a tip. Cartridge World can save you up to 30% compared to the big box stores, and Cartridge World cartridges are guaranteed to perform as good as new. Plus, they can give you free delivery on qualifying orders. They have curbside service at Cartridge World in Maple Grove, 763-420-6632. That's 763-420-6632, or click on the Cartridge World banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Now let me get up, because it's important, because I want to go into my kitchen. So I'm in the kitchen. Now, why am I in the kitchen? Why are you in the kitchen, Bob Davis, when you're going to talk? What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to talk about Whitetail Builders, Inc., because one of the things Randy Grabo of Whitetail Builders, Inc. loves to do is redo kitchens. And you can't see this one. It's okay. I mean, this is a pretty good kitchen. But if you've spent any time in your house, the one thing that you can do that adds great value to your house is put in a new kitchen. Things like bringing the light in, putting the sink in front of a window, new stove and new places for all of the appliances, things of that nature. And Randy Grabo is the guy to do it. I've seen his kitchens. He loves doing kitchens, and they are really, really amazing. So whitetailbuildersinc.com, or you can call Randy on his personal cell phone. He loves talking to people about what they want to do to improve their house. And again, it is true that he loves kitchens. He loves to redo kitchens. 612-282-8801, 612-282-8801. Whitetail's focused on the details. And here's the thing about Randy. First of all, he's a great craftsman. I mention this every time I talk about Whitetail. But also, the people that use him love his attention to detail, and he will be with you every step of the way. So this is why they say Whitetail Builders, helping you construct your dreams. Check them out online at whitetailbuildersinc.com, or click on that Whitetail banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Now, these aren't in any particular order. These are just experiences that I've had on the 4th of July. And I will tell you, this is my favorite holiday of all the holidays that we have. I like this holiday more than I like Christmas. I like this holiday more than New Year's. There is not a holiday, religious or otherwise, that I like as much as I like this one. And I think it's because it's in summer, and I love summer. So to me, thank God, because can you imagine if they had decided to sign the Declaration of Independence in January, or even worse, mid-February? So if you live in the north, but even if you live in some other part of the country that's more temperate, summer is very key to the 4th of July success, I think, even in places like Arizona and Texas, where it's really, really hot, or Virginia, where it's really, really hot in the summer. But we are having, as I have said in a couple of different podcasts this summer, we are having a summer that is probably going to go down in the history books as being one of the greatest. In fact, I saw an article tonight that said that the 4th of July holiday will usher in a period of very high heat and humidity in most of the country, but in particular in the upper Midwest. So if you live in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois, Indiana, North or South Dakota, especially Eastern North or South Dakota, and I would imagine mid to mid-Eastern Nebraska, certainly Missouri, Southern Illinois, Southern Indiana, Southern Ohio, all the way through, you're having this amazing summer. The other day there was a cloudburst, kind of a little tiny storm that blew up. I was sitting out here and it was sunny, and the sun was setting. It was this beautiful sunset, and it started storming, and the sun was shining the entire time that the storm was on, and it was stunning. I don't know whether it's me or whether it's just how things are. I have not seen that kind of, I've just not had this kind of feeling about summer in a long time. I mean, since I was a kid. So here's some of my best 4th of July memories, in no particular order. And obviously I've had a lot of 4th of Julys, and some of them I don't even remember. But I'll start with one. When I was little, we used to drive down from Chicago to Ohio. We'd either go to Columbus, Ohio, but occasionally we would visit my dad's army buddy, and his name was Winterhalder, and they lived in Cincinnati. Now, if you know Cincy, you know that there's a lot of Germans in Cincinnati. There's also a lot of Germans in Columbus, Ohio, which is where my family's from. They're not German, but there's a big German heritage in Cincinnati and in Columbus. And I don't have time to go into the history or the reasons for that, but it was always fun to go see the Winterhalders. And they had a big family, seven kids. And they lived in Cincinnati, which is this, at the time, and I still think it's probably true, one of the things I loved about Cincinnati was we would get there in the evening, so it was usually dark. And Cincinnati is a very hilly town, and so I can remember coming down these hills with the streetlights at the bottom of the hill where there'd be an intersection, heading to the Winterhalder's house, and then we would hang out with the winter halters, and it just was fun. You know, we'd go to the zoo, and my dad and winter halter would drink beer all day, and they had seven kids, and they'd make us sleep in the attic of the house, where there was a big fan, you know, set into the peak of the roof there, as I recall. And it was pretty hot, but it was also this big adventure. This, you know, and that was probably the first time that I witnessed, you know, flares. He used a flare to light fireworks off. And it was just stuff like pixies and sparklers and things like that. And we had ice cream and, you know, hot dogs and hamburgers and French fries and all the stuff that you have on the 4th of July. And it was really a picture-perfect 4th of July right in the city in Cincinnati at the Winterhalter's house. And I remember that. And I don't know how many times we did that. Probably not that many, if maybe once, maybe twice. But it was I'll never forget that. And then I think later, and maybe around the start of the same period of time, we would go to my mom's friend, who was in the hospital with my mom in a hospital room when my mom had my sister and this friend of hers, Mary Owen, had her son. They were the same age, Robbie. Mary Owen was great. I mean, she was just a great, great lady. She was hilarious. She had sort of a booming voice. She smoked cigarettes all the time. She loved to drink. And she was loved to laugh and just a ton of fun. And then she was married to Bob, who had been a pilot in World War II, and he worked for North American there in Columbus. And I'll tell you, for you car guys, I'll tell you why I remember this. And I don't know, I mean, it's one of the main reasons that I remember this. But for one thing, they had a pool table in the basement. And it was just a suburban house in Columbus, nothing special. But they had this pool table in the basement. And after dinner, and of course the parents were always, or before dinner, the parents were always sitting around drinking and smoking and telling stories. And, you know, there are all kinds of great stories about Bob Owen and the things that the tricks that he pulled when they were stationed in Arizona learning to fly and teaching guys how to fly the B-25. You know, which is also made by North American, by the way. And he had a 63, and it was brand new at that time. He had a 63 Galaxy convertible with a black interior and that champagne color paint job on the outside of it. It was sport wheels, and he used to take us for a ride in that car, and that was worth going to Columbus to ride in that car. It was just an amazing car, and he'd always take us for a ride, and I'd sit in the back, and it had bucket seats, you know, four on the, you know, the shifter on the floor, and then, you know, you sit in the back with the radio between the seats and everything else, the speaker for the radio, and it was just great. And I know we went there for the 4th of July. I don't remember any fireworks or anything else, but I do remember a lot of summer holidays at the Owens house in Columbus. And then the other thing we'd do is we'd go visit my grandparents. And so there would be a number of things that would happen when we visit our grandparents. So there was usually a party. I've often talked about these parties where we'd go and, my grandfather was a salesman, and he ran a food brokerage. So they sold candy, and they sold condiments and things like that to restaurants and grocery stores. And he had four or five guys working for him. And this is the kind of country that it was then. You know, all those guys made a living, and a good living, doing that. And of course, my grandpa and his partner made a good living. And you'd go to somebody's house for a party, and they were always big houses. And I can still remember, you know, sort of the peak of summer, and the lawns are green, you know, the air was still just like it is out here tonight, and you'd see all these, you know, Buick Electras and Oldsmobile 98s and Ford Galaxies and, you know, occasionally a Corvette somebody drove, or a Mustang. and all kinds of the, you know, at that time, you know, those cars just had amazing paint jobs. Cream white and champagne and forest green, metallic green with Landau tops and clocks on the dashboards and, you know, 58 Buicks and 63 Buicks and 65 Buicks and 65 Cadillacs, convertibles. And then you go into the backyard. And as a kid, you know, you'd go into the backyard and you could smell the martinis and you could smell the cigarettes and the cigars and you could see all these guys with their guts hanging out in their $500 suits, you know, telling each other stories, and their wives were always dressed up. In fact, those women at that time wore gloves. They had white gloves and hats and all of that. And I can still remember that. And so we'd do that. Then on the 4th of July, we'd go over to Uncle Dave's house. Now, Uncle Dave lived in a duplex on some main street where they had a 4th of July parade. And I remember the same thing. And it's interesting what the smells bring back. And that's the thing that's most interesting to me. We would set the lawn chairs up. So we're talking about those old style, old school lawn chairs with the web plastic seat and back. And early in the morning, we'd get over there and we'd set the lawn chairs up to get a place. And everyone would sit and watch the parade. And then in the house, they'd be serving coffee and donuts or pastries or whatever they serve, because the parade started in the morning. And I can still remember the smell of that coffee and the smell of cigarettes and perfume and cigar smoke, again, because all those guys smoked. And it was the same bunch. It was the same guys from work for my grandpa. And we'd all sit out there he was not my uncle. He was a Welshman who worked with my grandfather. But he'd been with my grandfather for so many years, they'd worked together for so many years, and we all knew him as Uncle Dave. And he'd tell us stories from the old country, and he spoke Welsh and all this stuff. He was an amazing, my sister loved this guy. He was amazing. And he had, I'll just tell you, he drove this 64 Oldsmobile 88, and it was blue, and his wife, Catherine, she was from Kentucky, and she had a giant 59 Cadillac that was metallic blue with I think it had a white interior. It may have been that blue kind of knit interior. And for me, these are the touchstones. That's the thing that's interesting about this, is that these are the touchstones, these cars, these giant cars. And I can remember going to pick my grandmother up at the with Aunt Catherine in the Cadillac, because she'd be getting her hair done someplace. And we'd have to go pick her up in the Cadillac, or go to lunch with her at the big department store in downtown Columbus, which was Lazarus at the time. I remember that. And so we'd watch the parade. That was a big one. And then in the present time frame, so it's not when I was a kid, I took one summer. There was a wedding in Chicago that we went to. My friend Steve got married, and we went to Steve and Darlene's wedding in my 78 Nova. And after that, my friend Ted and I turned around and drove all the way to the West Coast. And we were looking for his brother. He was trying to find his brother who had disappeared off the radar. And I have told some stories about this, but it took some work. Once we got to the coast, once we got to Oregon, it took a little bit of work to find him. They lived in Lincoln City. And so we went to see his brother in Lincoln City, and it was the 4th of July. And so I remember being in Lincoln City, Oregon on the 4th of July, and I was just out there about 3 or 4 years ago, and it was kind of interesting to be there again, although it wasn't the 4th of July, it was during that hurricane. So there was or cyclone as they have on the West Coast, and it was raining the whole time, but it was really cool to be in Lincoln City again. So that was a neat one. And then I'll just finish out by saying that I remember when they still had Taste of Minnesota, when I was working at a local radio station here in Minneapolis and St. Paul, we would do the fireworks every year at Taste of Minnesota, which meant that we would set the music up, and then we would send them this 18-minute tape, and then they would build the firework display to the music, right? And then, because I was the program director, I would be with them when they shot the fireworks off. So I got to be up on the hill where they shot the fireworks from the Taste of Minnesota, and I'd have the car pulled up and I'd have the radio on so I could, you know, really see how it worked. And we did it like 4 or 5 years in a row. But it was great to see them shoot it, because then I could understand, you know, how the whole fireworks thing worked. And one year, one of those tubes broke and fell, and it started firing shells in every direction. And they gave us flak jackets and helmets. And I remember just hitting the ground because they were shooting, they were going everywhere. And one of them broke a window at the state capitol, the Office of Disaster Relief. I'll never forget that. But that was an eventful 4th of July, and I remember that. And I remember that, so these unexploded shells were all over the place. And it was really dangerous because they could go off at any time. And here came my wife with my son, who was about 4, up the street trying to find me. And she's walking through this field of these unexploded shells. And I remember one of the guys from the fireworks company was like, get her out of there. I said, and she didn't pay any attention to him when they said, oh, you gotta watch out, those unexploded shells. She just kept walking right through there. I'll never forget that. That was a very eventful 4th. So, and I will say that for much of my career, you know, I was working during the 4th, whether it was the Taste of Minnesota or some other promotion, and I would go to the lake and then I'd drive in. So everybody was up at the lake and then I'd drive in to do whatever it was that I was doing. And so that was my 4th of July. These days, I just kind of like to chill out and stay home on the 4th of July and just kind of listen to the neighborhood, as you hear, and watch the eclipse. And that's my sort of quiet celebration of the 4th of July, without too much politics, without too much proselytizing, and I hope it provokes some 4th of July memories for you. Let me give a big silver salute shout out to 36 and Lynn, which is the independently owned and operated community-focused refueling station at 36 and Lindale Avenue in the Lynn Lake neighborhood of Minneapolis. Now, a lot of people I know back and forth through the city of Minneapolis, here's the reason to stop by 36 Lynn. Aside from the fact that they've got great locally sourced products in the store, great coffee in the store, it's an independent refueling station, which means they've got some leeway, and so they always have a good deal on fuel at 36 and Lynn. So remember that next time you're swinging through Minneapolis and need some gas or a cup of coffee. More info is available at 36lynn.com. That's 36LYN. Or you can click on their banner. It's a really cool banner, by the way, at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Well, I think the fireworks are about over. And the smell of cordite is still in the air. Is that what that is? Cordite or gunpowder? I don't know. But it looks to me like we're just about done. So thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, podcast 938. Yeah, I mentioned that I did another podcast and I just dumped it. I trashed it. And I'm so glad I did because this is a lot more fun. Thanks for liking, sharing, favoriting, and following on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command. I would like to plan a trip for later in the summer. We'll see how that goes. Enjoy the hot weather, and thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts. Happy 4th. I want to live with a cinnamon girl. I can be happy the rest of my life with a cinnamon girl. A dreamer.